morning, Andrew Plank. It's Jane Johnson with the Victoria Real Estate Show.
I know who you are.
I thought we'd
good
tell
you. Good morning, Jane. It's Andrew Plank with Royal LePage. Here we are once again.
So today we're going to be talking about groundbreaking changes to condo ownership that the government has implemented.
Really substantial change.
So really we'll get to that after the stats. So how are you doing now, first of all? Let's
Thanks so much for asking. I'm doing great. As I was saying, I'm a bachelor for a couple of days. My partner's gone off to Vancouver for some work. So one of my boys will be here later tonight. We'll probably do a movie night or something. We'll figure it out.
Awesome.
And it's snowing outside, it was a moment ago. So it was pretty exciting.
Well, you can see Christmas has arrived at my house. Yes. We're in the middle of decorating.
We've got our tree up as well.
I should put the light on. No, I will not.
You should have put the light on.
What is your impression of the market this week?
You know, we're going to go into the stats, but based on phone calls and what's been sort of happening, it feels like there's a bit of a bolstering to me in terms of, I think some buyers are coming back to the table. That being said, buyers are definitely, they're back to the table, but it's price sensitive.
Right. So they're looking for a deal.
Yes. Yes. And so I was talking with another agent yesterday, and she was describing just how aggressive these other buyers were offering on her listing. And unfortunately, their property is contingent as an offer on our property. So we're waiting on theirs to sell, but the gap is too large a gap, because these buyers are coming in hot.
So what Andrew's saying is that he has an offer on his property subject to sale. He talked to the agent, and the agent said that the buyer's offer came in too low, so they can't afford to buy his property.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to me. So what has happened in the past, a long time ago, is we actually did a price reduction on our listing so that the buyer could afford to take a lower offer.
Oh, no, there was, I mean, I don't want to get into too much, but there was discussion of that. My client was willing to make concessions to make things work, but unfortunately it just ended up being too stressful and for the other party, and it's not going to work out, unfortunately, despite us doing our best to keep things together and to be alive to the current market circumstances. My clients were actually rock stars in terms of how they responded.
I'm sure that's due to your excellent advice.
Thank you. Partially, perhaps.
I do find, what your agent suggests to you in terms of alternatives. You always have a decision what you want to do. You know, you can accept, you can counter, you can reject. So there's always three choices, and you can work on different strategies. The more experienced your agent, the more strategies they're going to bring towards you.
Yeah. I mean, there are three big options of, you know, accept, counter, reject. But, you know, within each of those, there's so many other nuances and, you know, the communication with the other agent. And I had a conversation with a newer agent the other day who had some interactions with a more experienced agent in a transaction. And he was the listing agent for this property. And the buyers received the property on completion, and there was a lot of stuff left by the seller. I had a conversation with him around, like, how do you manage this stuff, and what do you do to keep your colleagues happy with you? Because, you know, this business is a cooperative and a competitive business, and it's really important to keep a good relationship with your colleagues. And so, because he was actually going to do everything right, but it needed a little bit more communication on his part proactively, just to keep the other parties in the loop as to what was going on.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're just talking about the nuances of having an agent and
doing
the right thing.
So often how we mitigate that is we have a checklist that we provide to sellers before they move out of the house. And one of them is to get the house professionally cleaned and to get the stuff moved. Right. And actually, I'm going to review that now today just to make sure.
Good idea. Yeah. But as you said earlier, you know, we advise what the clients decide. There's no, unless it's in the contract, there's no obligation on them to have it professionally cleaned. It's just good neighborly way to be.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do the stats and
let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So this is the stats for Monday, November 28th with Andrew Plank and myself. I'm trying to be more formal because I've been listening to podcasts and I'm like, you know what? Sometimes we need to just go and introduce what we're talking about.
Okay. So here we have the stats from the last week as well as the week before. So the right-hand column is this past week. The last 7 days, we've had 163 new listings. And of those, 90 have gone pending. It's almost identical to the week before in terms of activity. Price decreases, a little fewer price decreases, 105. And one price increase, 8 properties back on market, 94 sold, 42 expired, and 3 withdrawn. What do you think, Jane, when you see this?
It looks fairly balanced. It's interesting because I do the PowerPoint preparation in the morning and actually the whole month it's been almost the exact same ratio. When I see a price decrease of 105, I'm thinking people want to get their property sold and they're motivated to move before. And this is where you're getting the low price offers on your property.
Right. So we're seeing, in all conversations, you find that people, you know, hope springs eternal and sellers definitely don't want to undersell their property. And so, you know, they want to start out somewhere where, you know, if they put the property up, somebody might take a stab at it. But if no action happens, they have to get maybe realistic at that point. Maybe they were realistic before, but the market has changed. And so we're going to start seeing those price decreases. But I would say that the volume of price decreases is very high, but it also suggests people are very quickly adjusting to the market. And that's why we're seeing also so many pendings.
Yeah. And I'm seeing, so basically what I told somebody last night in a listing presentation, if we don't get the viewings right off the bat, then we're overpriced. Yeah. And if we don't get feedback after people have shown a property, then we're overpriced. So.
Yeah, people don't like to give bad feedback, even though it's sort of common courtesy in our industry. We ask for feedback on showings and we the other agent is sort of expected to get back with some feedback from what the buyers thought or their impressions, but we don't always receive that. And sometimes it's simply because they don't want to give us bad news.
Okay, so for month to date, the column on the right is November 2021. So we're sitting at 339. That's up from 249 last week. So that's 110 sales, net unconditional sales. And new listings were up to 713. So we've surpassed last year's of 696. And total active listings were at 2,129. And that's up from last year at 887. I suspect what's going to happen is we're not going to see an increase in those throughout the remainder of the year as we're getting into December.
And what Jane means is that we probably, many people will decide not to relist their home or maybe take it off market during the dead of winter and over Christmas, especially if you're living in your home. You just, and as Jane, you could see in Jane's back there, you know, it's family time, there's Christmas things happening, events. So people tend not to want to have their people traipsing through their home and having to keep it as clean as they may have before. But that 887 number, I mean, that is such a low number, that bottom right. That was really unheard of, only 887 active listings. You know, when we have like 1,200 to 1,400 agents, usually in Victoria. So at 2,129, we're just so much more closer to the norm, I would say.
Yeah.
And still even maybe a little low on inventory.
Yeah. Yep. And what I'm finding now is buyers are going, I'll just wait. They are noticing the prices. This is the commentary I'm receiving. They are noticing prices are going down. And so they're waiting to see. And what that does is it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so it will go down, I think. It's a great time to buy. I always tell people we've bought every property we've owned in September to December, because generally the market is going down just seasonally. So it's not, I think it's just following a seasonal adjustment.
Right. And in the spring, people tend to get a little bit more, it bolsters, people come up a little more activity. And when things do turn around, it turns on a dime. And so although you might be able to save some money if you wait a month or two, if prices continue to soften, but you, it's hard to know where that ends. And once that does end, it will end quickly. And then you will not have time or selection. You won't be able to negotiate good terms, like the proper dates you're looking for, good conditions. Because when it does turn, you're back to perhaps multiple offers over asking and competition with less conditions.
Yeah. So what Andrew's saying is buy now.
I'm saying if you're looking to buy, you know, don't overthink it. Look at the big picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always find like buy when other people aren't buying, sell when other people aren't selling.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, this is the big news.
So we have the BC government announced we have a new premier, and Premier Eadie announced that he is removing strata rental restrictions to turn empty units into homes for people. They are ending most age restrictions for strata so young people and families have more options, and 55 plus restrictions will remain. And I actually want to talk about that because I forgot to put a point on the PowerPoint. And then they're going to be working with municipalities, although I found it hard, they didn't really mention which ones, with the greatest housing needs to set targets to deliver more homes faster. And we'll talk about each one of these one by one.
Yeah. Okay. So just to say really quickly, David Eby was sworn in recently. He announced that he wanted to do this. I think in our industry, we were all talking around the water cooler about it and saying, you know, this is really interesting. It's going to be pretty substantial changes. Did not expect it to get rammed through so quickly. In a week's time, it went from this is what we're proposing to this is now enacted in law.
Right. So since January 1st, 2010, rental restriction bylaws have been banned in strata corporations. And what they're doing is extending that ban now to involve every strata. They said that there are still approximately 300,000 strata units built before 2010 that may be subject to rental bans. I think that number is probably low. What they want to do is they want to open up rentals. So Tony Gioventu, who's the executive director of Condo Homeowners Association, he's actually a really good guy to follow. Show up. Says, if there's a rental bylaw, you're only competing against other people who are going to be wanting to live there. If there's no rental bylaw, you're suddenly opening the doors up for speculators and investors who are going to be competing for the same property. And I totally agree with that.
Exactly. Yep.
So, but what they're also doing, I remember being, I was actually in the change room after a workout talking to this lady about whether or not rentals were allowed in her strata. And she said, well, I don't want rentals because I want to know everybody in my community.
And that's a valid need. And, people who buy into strata have their annual meetings and vote on their bylaws to direct how the place is run. And one of the options in the past has been, we choose to only allow people who are owners in this complex, or maybe, you know, only 5 out of 20 can be rented or anything like that. But now that is just wiped clean. So you no longer have the control over that. And that's good for people for opening up. Yes, it's definitely good for opening up more rentals in the marketplace. It's also good for those people who have, you know, there was also the empty homes tax.
Yeah, vacant
homes tax. And you, if you owned a condo that when that came in and you owned a condo and it, you know, just were coming for 3 months, the year, or, you know, for family to use from time to time. Now you could potentially rent it. You'd still have to do probably minimum 6 month rental.
Well, there's going to be different rules that are going to pop up. I'm pretty sure there's going to be some that say no less than 6 months rental or no less than 3 month rental, because they don't want Airbnb. I know that there's some places where people circumvent that, where they have a house sitter for the winter, and those people are, you know, maybe friends of theirs from Calgary or whatever who come to Victoria because of the weather.
Well, we've got different layers of rules, right? So by removing rental restrictions, the zoning still, if it doesn't allow for short-term rentals, technically they're not allowed, even if there's not, if it's silent in the bylaws. But what I'm seeing, what I anticipate, and seeing colleagues talking about this as well, is although you can restrict rentals, or you can no longer restrict rentals, you can restrict other types of use. So, for example, no skateboarding in the common property. You know, no loud, no loud noise. You know, noise bylaws or things. Sorry, that's around the children. The no children restrictions. But the rentals as well could, you know, there's restrictions that could come in that would be make it onerous for people who are renters. Maybe move out bylaws. Costs and so forth.
Right. And in older buildings that are built like 1980s and earlier, they tend to not be as soundproofed. So, and these tend to be the ones that are usually like 45 plus or 30 plus, where they're trying to avoid kids because you can hear right through the floor. I was wondering if some buildings may vote to become 55 plus.
Yeah, no, I agree. If it's already a 45 plus, probably would, because, you know, the owners, current owners would be grandfathered as well.
Here's why this is a bad deal. Bad idea.
Sorry.
Grandmothered. It's a bad idea because you're really restricting your resale market if you go for 55 plus. Obviously, these people want a lifestyle that's quiet and stuff. But, you know, as one of my clients told me last week, people in older buildings also tend to listen to their TV and music really loudly because they can't hear it well. And so, you know, you're going to have different types of noise.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So that, you know, again, we don't know what the consequences yet will be on this, but we do know that it's a very, very, very substantial change. One of the examples I was using, the first thing that occurred to me is, you know, Jane, you and I have both worked all through Greater Victoria. How many times do you get calls from people saying, I'm looking for a unit for my son or daughter who's going to UVic, and they want to be near UVic, but it's really hard to find a unit near UVic that's not rental restricted and age restricted.
Right.
And so now both of those are wiped clean. I mean, it's a great time to go and snap up a unit near UVic before the prices adjust.
Well, I'm going to be sharing this video with all my clients at the end of today. Mm-hmm. So that, because I do have clients like that, and I do think it's a fabulous opportunity. Okay. Yeah. So they are saying that bylaws restricting Airbnb will continue to be allowed. Mm-hmm. And they do want to ensure that there are long-term options available. So what this is coming from is that the job opportunities are available, but people can't get housing. And so they are also allowing the strata corporation, if they don't like your tenant, they can actually issue a notice to end tenancy, so they can interfere between you and your tenant and recover the cost of that application. So if,
I mean, obviously with cause, though, they can't just jump in and say, I don't like this tenant. Otherwise, obviously, that's pretty problematic.
I don't like Andrew.
He's out of here. Okay, well, I'll see you later then.
There'll have to be a process for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So typically when we see age restrictions, we see 19 plus, 30 plus, 45 plus, and it's kind of picked out of the air. Where do they get these ages? I don't know. I had a client, it was like a 47 plus condo, and she was 45. And so they over the course of the weekend, they all voted and she was able to move in, which is not really in alignment with the Strata Property Management Act. So what they're doing is removing everything except for the 55 plus. I do know there's a building downtown at Tapestry, which is 65 plus. So I imagine that will just stay.
Tapestry, Tapestry falls under a different category too, apparently, simply because it is the independent living, but it's a different
structure.
So when I was asking them about their rental structure, for example, and whether they follow the Residential Tenancy Board rules, they said, no, we can adjust our rates. We're not constrained to the, annual rise. We can adjust. They fall into some different category. I don't remember exactly how it works, but they may be more insulated from these rules. I'm not sure.
Right.
Otherwise they might be 55 plus now, not 65 plus anymore. But they're more of a business.
Why they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But what was interesting is before when I first got into real estate, I didn't realize that CMHC and Genworth have to insure condos that where people have less than 20%. I knew that, but they don't insure condos that have age restrictions because of the limited resale.
Yes.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lobbyist maybe behind that as well.
Okay. All right. So what you're saying is because these mortgage insurers who typically banks like actually not having to lend, they like it when somebody has less than 20% down, because then when they lend the remaining above the 20% that CMHC or Genworth, these mortgage insurers will provide the difference.
Yeah.
They also provide an insurance so that if the buyer, the owner, goes into default, the bank is made right by the mortgage company, by CMHC, for example.
Right.
So they have, and because of that, CMHC is taking on all this risk. They also do really vet condo buildings, for example, and they have in the past not liked restricted buildings. So yes, it can be hard to get an actual mortgage unless you have above 20% down on some of these.
Yeah, and I think people, so that's widening, to me, it's widening the market for the buyers. So that's a good thing. But also it means that investors now, this is going to be the pro. The pro is that the investors now have more choice. The con is going to be you're going to have investors who aren't living in the building who are going to be renting it to families. Right.
I also think of, there's certain buildings I can think of that have been like fairly inexpensive, no age restrictions, no rental restrictions. They make sense as, as people buy them as investment properties, but they're not necessarily in the best area of town. They may not be the best run buildings. And if I had a buyer now who was sort of in the category that would be the only fit for them, now there's a much wider level of choices. So I imagine those buildings might actually go down in value. So we might see actually a shifting in values from some buildings that have no restrictions but are just not a great building to other buildings that are a wonderful building, have been really well run, but due to restrictions, people weren't able to buy in there.
Right.
I also imagine we're going to see some shifting in rents, rental rates, because if suddenly there's a larger market of available units for rent, we may see some more competition for rent.
Yeah. So, and the other thing is, according to a home builders association in Vancouver, 19 out of 20 Metro Vancouver municipalities are not building enough housing. And I know that that's an issue in Victoria. And they are projecting a population growth for 2040. So that's a little ways out, but they want to get the housing in there. I know in the West Shore, they've been focusing on getting in rental condos as well. But what they're doing, what they want to do is establish its own Ministry of Housing. And they want to look at 8 to 10 municipalities around the province and try and determine where the greatest need is going to be, where the greatest growth is going to be. And then they'll have the municipalities determine an action plan. And then there's going to be an advisor who I guess will liaise between the municipalities and the ministry, who will review their growth plans and see if they're meeting their targets. So there's going to be accountability around growth.
Interesting. And sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. So apparently what happened in Ontario recently was the premier just decided to remove all local approvals, building approvals. And so I could see us sort of heading in that direction, which kind of scares me.
Absolutely. Because there's less, I mean, if there's not a local eye on it, then someone doing approvals from a distance is going to be more likely to just blanket approve things or let things through that maybe not be a fit for neighborhoods or what have you.
But I do agree we do need to have a plan. And it's, I think this is a good thing. I think that on the one hand, like, I like the fact that it's opening up the market, because I have a lot of people who say to me that, you know, well, I wish we could buy, mostly it's in the 55 plus area where they're looking to buy. They go, those 55 plus condos, they look like they're such a great deal and I can't get in them because blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not going to change.
No, it's not. And the reason that they're less pricey is because, again, they're so restricted. So supply demand, and those restrictions just make it so that it's there's definitely, I see sometimes $100,000 or, you know, 20% up to 20% difference between a 15 or 20% difference between a 55 plus and something comparable beside it. It's pretty significant.
Right.
Some of those buildings.
And there's some sweet buildings that have like 45 plus. So it'll just be interesting to see if strata's are going to be rushing towards changing into 55 plus to try and get around this rule, or they're, you know, and then they'll have to look at the demographics of who's in the building currently.
Justin Hansen is going to be making lots of money in the next little while. Justin Hansen is a real estate lawyer who specializes in condos and condo law. So he would be probably advising a lot of condos in the next little while on where they go from here.
Okay. So do you have anything else you want to say on this?
I mean, there's opportunity here. There's also a concern. I think if you're a condo owner and you have questions, definitely, you know, get ahead of it, start asking questions, talk to the lawyers, talk to your realtors, find out how this could impact you. There could be a big opportunity in this for you as an owner to sell, where you may not have had the same chance to sell. It's a great opportunity for certain buyers looking for properties. This opportunity will work itself out, I would say, over the next 3 to 6 months as the playing field levels and we get back to a new normal. So that's what I would say. And also just in terms of the third of, you know, the fact that the provincial government is looking to open up the playing field and work with the municipalities to make more development happen. Given that we have, you know, what, 15 municipalities, various fiefdoms here in Greater Victoria, it makes sense to have a more overarching vision as opposed to each individual's.
Yes, and another move towards amalgamation.
Yeah.
I know that the mayor of Victoria is very happy about these rule changes. And of course, they're very pro housing development.
They've been, yes.
Okay. So, if you want more information, Andrew, how do people get in touch with you?
So, yeah, reach out to me anytime. You can call or text 250-360-6106. Email me info@andrewplank.com. Or come to the website and you can contact me through there and also find lots of great information, including these shows at andrewplank.com.
Okay. And if you want to reach me, my name is Jane Johnston. You can reach me at 250-744-0775. My email is briarhillgroup@gmail.com. My website is briarhillgroup.com. And I have another website called vancouverislandtime.com. If you're interested in following me on Instagram, I'm at realtyteacher_remax_Victoria and Vancouver Island_luxury_living. And don't forget, every Monday morning we are on, so don't forget to subscribe. And let's just briefly talk about what we're going to be doing over the holidays. So we will be here. Let me just check. I think until mid-December.
Yeah.
So our last one will be the 19th, and then we'll be off until the 9th. So, and next week we are doing our monthly follow-up. So please tune in. And if you have questions about what's going on in real estate, send them to us ahead of time. We're happy to chat.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Jane, thanks so much. Have a great week and enjoy your Christmas decorating and seasonal stuff. I can't believe that you've already, I mean, yes, you've got your tree up. We have ours too. It feels a little early, but it's
okay. I love it. So that's Jane, all that matters.
Before the show, Jane, let's put your hat back on, Jane.
Okay.
This I feel is too much.
Okay. Smile for the camera. We're going to take one picture and then we're going to go. Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.